You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council, and also this fall by Carter Hill Orchard.
This is New Hampshire Now, 109, 1450, and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of New Hampshire Now is presented by ARP New Hampshire, as well as the Concord Food Co-op, and this segment of the show brought to you by Fox Ace Hardware in downtown Penacook, committed to the revitalization of downtown Penacook under new ownership. Fall cleanup is here, and they have the items you need to get your lawn spruced up for the winter, if that makes any sense. Fox Ace Hardware, downtown Penacook on Village Street. Joining us right now on the program, you don't get your lawn spruced up for the winter. You're just kind of cleaning it for the spring.
Right. Get everything out of the way.
Which is way too far ahead. Like, that's like 6 months ahead that you're working there. Why don't you just clean it up in the spring?
Good point.
I haven't quite figured out and this is why my lawn is always bad, is that I haven't, everything, in my view, I want to maximize my time and make the most out of my time, which includes my downtime. And why am I going to do fall cleanup twice? Because when you do the fall cleanup once, there's still going to be leaves that fall down in between when the your fall cleanup takes place and when winter really starts.
And they're going to blow all over the place?
They're going to blow around.
Especially if your neighbor goes after you and starts raking and blowing leaves, and then it's like whatever you did is over.
So why not do the fall cleanup once in the spring?
Yeah.
But still, if you're motivated to do fall clean, I don't think I've done the best ad for Fox Ace Hardware.
Well, I think it is very important people, maybe besides you and I,
right,
to get out there and get that fall clean up and go out there and buy some things to help you do it.
Taylor Caswell, he's the Business and Economic Affairs Commissioner here for the Granite State, and he's doing really well right now with the...
Always trying to drum up some business.
The yard cleanup
sector. No matter what it is, we're gonna promote the economy.
Yeah, you're at about a 60% approval rating right now going into this with the yard cleanup sector, but you're all the way down to 25% after your recent comments. Thus is being...
I have to work it back.
Thus is being a public official. So a lot to talk about today. I want to focus specifically today in regards to kind of an upshot on where we're at going into here, the fourth quarter, and where the New Hampshire economy is at this point in time. We'll talk about some of the strengths, some of the weaknesses. We talked with Feltus yesterday about energy, and I think we should get to that today as well. But let's just do an upshot first off on where you see the New Hampshire economy.
Well, I mean, it continues to do very well. The thing that continues to jump out to me really is when you start looking at how we're doing in comparison with other states that we compete with or that are, that are near us, the other New England states. It's always a good comparison, I think, to sort of get an idea of whether we're standing out or whether we're just sort of going along with everyone else. And it continues, the story continues to be on that front, our ability to attract more younger people to New Hampshire. That continues to be a trend that we're seeing. I was looking at some numbers yesterday for the North Country, particularly Littleton and Bethlehem, because I'd heard all these, I'm up there with some regularity. I hear a lot of people talking about they can't believe how many young people are around. So I started to look at some of the numbers. And if you pull down the 2013 to 2018, and you combine Littleton and Bethlehem, and I don't know what it does to either one of them if you pull them, make them separate, but I just put them together. 20 to 25-year-olds have increased 83% in those two communities, and the 35 to 39 demographic has increased 34%.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think what we're seeing is this, as you and I have discussed, Chris, this ability and this strength that New Hampshire has of the very strong economy coupled with a lifestyle that is very difficult to find, and where you're finding communities who have made that marriage in the way that they're either advancing their own development or that they're marketing themselves, you're seeing traction there.
Where are they finding work?
Well, a lot of them are starting their own businesses, and so when they do that, they're bringing on maybe two or three other new people with that.
In what sectors?
But you also have a big manufacturing sector in Littleton. You have an industrial park there with about 1,500 jobs there. Places like Tender Corporation, Rotobec, FedEx has a big distribution facility there. So those are jobs that are in constant need. Those employers are constantly looking for new people.
So for the individuals in those age brackets you're describing who are creating their own businesses, in what sectors are they? Are they creating? Are they physical businesses in terms of having a footprint, you know, a coffee shop and things of that nature? Or is it more they're creating their own online consulting type of business where they are based in Bethlehem or wherever, and they can and work via technology?
Well, here's where we'll not go with the data answer because I don't have that right in front of me. But what I can tell you is that from my own experience, what we're seeing is a little bit of what I sometimes will call the North Country gig economy, where you have people that, you know, are looking primarily for lifestyle first, and they'll work at the Mount Washington, or maybe they'll get a nursing degree at White Mountain Community College, and they'll work at the hospital. I mean, the hospital is a huge employer in Littleton. Or they'll, you know, it's put it together as you go. But there are a lot of new businesses on the main street of Bethlehem and Littleton. So, you know, I'm always looking for what's a little bit of this secret sauce, and I do think that what a lot of people refer to as placemaking is having an impact in certain areas of the state.
What I think is taking place, anecdotally, obviously, is individuals are determining where they want to live and making that a much bigger factor in their lives than they did in the past. Mm-hmm. And also focusing on doing things that they like in order to make money. But also offsetting that perhaps with another job. Mm-hmm. So you may have a person that decides they want to, you know, to focus and live in, say, Littleton, and they are going to do, you know, some writing, some consulting, and some volunteer stuff, but they're going to have that primary source of income, which is going to be as a nurse or whatever. I think people are doing much more often than in the past are doing multiple jobs at once, three or four jobs at once, which allows them to do some of the things they like, but also allow for them to have a base. But where they live and enjoying their time is much more of a focus than it was for generation X and earlier.
Well, that certainly seems to be the trend. Not everywhere, but I think it is definitely of the type of people who fall into that category that they want to put their lifestyle first. This is where we're standing out, you know, because we do offer that lifestyle with a legitimate economic benefit of finding a job or a couple of jobs to support the lifestyle. You know, I'll point also to the unemployment numbers in August. The latest numbers I've seen so far is, you know, Coos County is holding at a 2.8% unemployment rate. Hillsborough and Rockingham are both at 2.7. So, I mean, it's a very consistent economy right now across the state. Yes, there are fewer people in Coos County than there are in Rockingham and Hillsborough, but the percentages are similar no matter where you're looking.
That is New Hampshire's Business and Economic Affairs Commissioner Taylor Caswell joining us here on Hampshire Now, 159-1450 and nhtalkradio.com. This hour of the program is presented by ARP New Hampshire as well as the Concord Food Co-op, and this segment of the show brought to you by Fox Ace Hardware. We're inside the Concord Photo Service Main Street studio. So we're seeing positive economic numbers there. In terms of growing the large-scale employers and opportunity zones and things of that nature that we've seen pop up, what has been the level of success there? We've talked about the 93 corridor, the projects taking place there in regards to expanding the highway, opportunity for large-scale office park-type developments in Wyndham, Londonderry, and along that route, relationship with the airport. What's going on there?
Well, there is quite a bit of that going on, particularly, again, if you had to look for the pure volume of it, you're going to see it in that 93 corridor and the 95 corridor, frankly, up into the all the way up into 16 and Dover and Rochester. Those are the areas that I think if I had to look at the volume of growth, that would probably be see where we're seeing it. And that makes obviously a lot of sense. It's where the population is. It's closest to the urban center of the state and of Massachusetts. You know, you're looking at the number of large employers in New Hampshire and the number of jobs that they provide is still a very substantial number, but it really pales in comparison to the small and medium-sized businesses that really end up being a lot of the focus that we have on how do we maintain the economy, how do we keep the investments coming to keep the jobs available for people. That's really where it's at. And, you know, I'll point to the manufacturing sector. That's our manufacturing sector. We don't have like the big Boeing, but we have 150 Boeing subcontractors. We have a lot of component manufacturers. We have a great company that's larger, but over in Hooksett, GE Aviation, and kind of the engine parts that they're building that are unique to this country. Frankly, there's one or two other places that build these same types of engines, but by and large, what we see are in the manufacturing sector are these component manufacturers of different pieces of larger contracts. And as long as that sort of top level keeps moving across the country and the manufacturing sector continues to do very well, we're going to see the ability to grow those types of jobs in New Hampshire.
One of the major challenges for New Hampshire, and this is nothing new, has been energy costs and concerns both in regards to consumers and businesses in regards to energy costs, third highest in the nation. And it's long been said, well, there's not much we can do about it. We're not Texas. We don't have oil sitting underneath us. There's significant issues with getting the power here to New Hampshire, and it's not something that's going to be solved easily. But in my view, that has changed in that there is technology being invented that can allow for us to store and to create more power. What do you think needs to be done in order to enhance that from a state perspective? And do you think enough has been done to create opportunity for a green economy in New Hampshire?
Yeah, a couple things. One is, what you're seeing is not exclusive to New Hampshire as far as it goes in the energy cost category. It's the same across the northeastern United States and really California up into Washington State area. For whatever reason, the coasts tend to have the highest energy costs right now. And if you look across the board, the numbers bear that out. So it's a regional issue in a lot of ways. But what you point out is absolutely true. I mean, there have been attempts over the last 10, 15 years to bring all sorts of new opportunities to bring power into New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And they've come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. And for various reasons, not many of those have been successfully permitted. I think the answer is going to be largely market-based. It's going to be largely investments in new technologies. And you're seeing the utilities in New Hampshire and in New England generally starting to see the light and saying that we need to invest in these new technologies. And, in the renewable sector continues to grow the technological capability of solar and offshore wind to generate high degree of the electricity needs that we have, not just in New Hampshire, but for the region. You look at the process that was gone through down in the southern part of New England to permit, I don't know what the total was, but I think it was around 5 gigawatts of offshore wind electricity generation for those states. I do expect that we'll start to see some activity around that front up this part of the woods before too long. There's a big need for that, and a lot of very large investors and offshore wind companies are looking at what can they do to address the electricity costs in this region and really the ongoing supply needs by jumping into that kind of a category. So there's a lot of options. I think it's hard to build new pipelines. It's obviously really hard to build new transmission wires and new generation facilities. So that in the end requires a lot more innovation and technology to come to the rescue.
Do you feel that the governor is open to a green economy in the way that he perhaps needs to be? This is something that was pushed forth by Senator Feltes on the program yesterday, and that there has been obviously biomass legislation that he vetoed, but then it was overridden, and there's been obviously concern about whether renewable energy is getting a level playing field here in New Hampshire. Those concerns legitimate in your view?
I don't think that it has much to do with the source of the generation as much as it has to do with the level of investment the government is required to put in order to make it work. This is a simple political theoretical and public policy argument. Whether or not it is in the best interest of a state, particularly if we're talking New Hampshire, to make big-time investments to advance and to grow a any sector, whether it's power or whatever it is, to make an investment in order to accelerate that investment because there is some sort of public policy benefit. I buy into that in some categories. But I think what's happening is at this point in time, what we're seeing is that the pressure, the market pressure, the pricing pressure that's being exerted on the users of electricity in New Hampshire is necessitating and driving down the cost of multiple sources of generation of power, including renewable power. And so this is sort of this point where we get to parity, where we start to see that the cost of generating a couple of megawatts with a wind turbine starts to be the same cost as generating it from a coal facility or a natural gas facility. That's the point that we want, and that's the point where New Hampshire needs to start accelerating and getting involved. And I think we're going to start to see that over the next couple of years because we are reaching those points. It has nothing to do with the investment of the New Hampshire taxpayer in subsidizing an industry. The industry is going to come here as these markets reach parity and make these investments to meet a market need, which is lower electricity costs.
Right. I completely agree with that. And I think that there is so much opportunity in the green economy and within the energy sector because of the lack of current competition that exists, that gap is going to be filled by the marketplace. Mm-hmm. But obviously we've seen oil and gas companies subsidized for many, many years by government. So there's that aspect of things where folks, why are we subsidizing one thing but not the other?
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about healthcare subsidization.
Right. No, you're right.
The government has gotten involved in subsidizing so much stuff, as we know, that's gotten us into a lot of trouble from the standpoint of budgets and fiscal responsibility. And if you went back into things like housing and healthcare and energy, and you took away right from the beginning and said no subsidies whatsoever for any of them, it'd be really interesting sort of experiment to see what everything looks like as a result. Have we been warping these markets with public investments? I think that you can definitely make a strong case that in some cases accelerating some sort of an industry or some sort of an investment or some sort of new thing makes a lot of sense, and you have the power to do that, but you can't make it a lifelong thing. You can't live off of it.
I think that's what we've seen. You're right. Research and development should be, in my view, subsidized. Yeah. And if there's something that's in the public good and you're going to allow for research and scientific experiment to take place, and that's what the funds are earmarked for, that's what they do, I think that subsidization makes sense in that realm. But further subsidization is problematic. And there's obviously some realms which are different, farming and other areas. But, that you have to draw the line. And if you're doing it on a consistent basis, you're changing the marketplace. And very often you're creating monopolies as well. And then you're like, well, the monopoly is too big. We got to do something about that. But with the monopoly may in large part be created because of government's role in what's taken place previous, whether that's a lack of regulation, whether that's subsidization. But Facebook as an example. Facebook, folks say, well, it's out of control. It's doing what it shouldn't be doing. Well, it's doing what it has been able to do because of the conditions which allowed it to run wild.
And I'll tell you, this is like integrated into a lot of public and private business entities, to the extent that we have companies that come to us and say, hey, New Hampshire, we're interested in moving here to your state. Tell us how much money you're going to give us. And I'm just like, we're not giving you money.
Right.
If you want money, go to Rhode Island or go to Massachusetts. But if you want a strong economy and you want access to a workforce, you can come here.
Right.
And nobody gets those things in New Hampshire. We don't hand out those big corporate tax breaks. There are things that we have, tools that we can use to help alleviate capital costs, but those are largely loan-based products. And there are all things that we ultimately get paid back for. But it's really baked into the system to the extent that it's really frustrating for those of us here in New Hampshire to continue, not continually, but always have to say back, if you look around here and you see our economy and you recognize that we don't give these big corporate tax breaks, tell me we're doing something wrong. right? But we're not. Things are going well here, and we can do it without it. So we're maybe a little bit of a case study in that category.
Taylor, as always, appreciate joining us for the program.
Good to see you, Chris.
Taylor Caswell here on New Hampshire Now, 1-9-1450 NHTalkRadio.com, with our focus on the New Hampshire economy. This hour of the show brought to you by ARP New Hampshire, as well as the Concord Food Co-op, and that segment of the show brought to you by Fox Ace Hardware in Penacook.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council, and also this fall by Carter Hill Orchard.